Well, our New Testament portion of the daily readings brings us to consider Revelation chapter 13. And in Revelation chapter 13, we have this false system of worship described as being the beast. And we read in verse 8, "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." And so we have reference then to this book of life, and those who are not accepted at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will not be in his kingdom, are those whose names are not written in the book of life. And so what we propose to do by way of exhortation today is to consider this aspect of the book of life and see what we need to do to make sure that our names are written there, so that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, we'll be accepted. And our names will be remembered in that day because of the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not immediately clear from Scripture whether or not there is a literal book with literal ink, with literal words written upon it, or whether or not it's a symbol of the cognizance and the mindfulness and the remembrance of the Lord God himself. Either way, it makes no difference. The principles are the same, irrespective whether it's a literal book or a figurative book. The principles that we're going to look at are eternal principles, which remain the same, irrespective of whether you think it's a literal book or not. And let's begin then by turning to Exodus and chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, the context, of course, is to do with Aaron making this golden calf, and he led the children of Israel into idolatry because he's pressurized by the people. And Moses came down from the mountain, witnessed all of the terrible things that were going on there, how he made this calf and how the people worshipped it, and they turned aside so quickly from the way of righteousness that had been declared to them by Yahweh, their God. And if we turn over to Exodus chapter 32 and verse 31, it says that after witnessing the idolatry of the people, it says that Moses returned unto Yahweh and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forget their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And Yahweh said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Now, there's a number of principles that come out here. Moses wanted to offer himself as a substitute sacrifice for the people. And that wasn't accepted. Notice what they said. He said, "If you will not forgive their sin, blot me out of the book instead. Let me bear their punishment and take it out of the way. Let me be the one who is excluded as a substitute for the people." And that wasn't accepted. And that's significant when you come to consider the standard church teaching concerning the atonement, the means by which we can have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. The substitutional sacrifice isn't accepted by God. And we read in verse 33 that rather, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." And so there's this book of life that's written, and the names of those who sin against God are blotted out of it. The second point that comes out from this is that it's quite a comforting point in a way. It is that it's not as if we have to work and do particular difficult things and show outstanding faith and so on in order to have our names written there. The names are already written there. And what determines our salvation is whether or not they're going to be blotted out of that book. And that's quite significant. That our names are there, and as long as we don't sin deliberately against Yahweh and be unrepentant sinners, then we will be in the kingdom because our names are already written in that book. We have that principle in Romans in chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 is the principle that we refer to very often, in connection with the love of God that's extended to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 35 of Romans chapter 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, even as it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep to the slaughter. And then it goes on to say in verse 38, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so virtually nothing then can separate us from the love of God. Our names are already in the book of life. All we need to do is to make sure that they're not blotted out. Now, I said virtually nothing can separate us from the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one thing that's not mentioned here that can. If you just turn over to Jude, the book of Jude, very, very sobering warning for us here. if you turn over to Jude in verse 19, it describes here the false brethren in verse 18 for context. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And so the only thing that can separate us from the love of God is ourselves. Our names are written there in the book of life. And the only thing that can stop us from being in the kingdom is if we turn away from the truth and our names are blotted out. And it's a source of great comfort to us, at least it should be, that our names are already there. And when the books are opened, as long as we haven't had our names blotted out, then we will be in the kingdom. We will be given salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 29, in Deuteronomy chapter 29, we read again of this principle that our names are written there. Verse 20 talks about the ungodly who perform deeds against Yahweh. In verse 20, Yahweh will not spare him. But then the anger of Yahweh and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. All that is written in this book shall lie upon him, and Yahweh shall blot out his name from under heaven. And so it's like the Moses saying, blot me out of thy book. And God says, I will blot out of my book those who sin against me. And those who don't will not be blotted out. And so here we have this aspect of the names, as it were, blotted out under heaven. It's interesting to compare the example of Moses with the example of the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 9, we have a similar occasion when Paul wishes that if it were possible that he could be a substitutionary offering for his people. In verse 3 of Romans 9, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory, and so on. So his desire is that, well, he would be a substitute for the people, like Moses said that, but of course that's not acceptable in the sight of God. It's not something that will be accepted. And so you come over to verse 15, and just as Moses said to Moses in verse 15, he said to Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So we cannot atone for the sins of each other. We cannot do that. We will all stand guilty for our own unrepentant sins. And I say our own repentant sins because, as we've seen in a moment, the sins of that we've committed are themselves blotted out, so that they're not remembered against us. And that's an aspect of things that we'll come to again. And so here's the point, and God will have mercy on those to whom he will have mercy. If we turn over to Philippians in chapter 4, in Philippians chapter 4, we read again of the same The same principle expressed in many different ways in Scripture. We tend to find this in the types and shadows and the symbols and the literal statements and all the different aspects of Scripture repeat the same principles in different ways. And it's one of the wonderful beauties of studying the Scripture that we can see this. And so Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says in verse 2 for context, I beseech you, Euodius, and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, too, yoke fellow, help those women who laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. And so the hope that they have, it is a real hope. Their names are already there. And they were fellow labourers with the Apostle Paul. And so that's the key to ensuring that we're written in the book of life, is that we're fellow labourers with the apostles, as it were. We continue the work of showing forth the things of the truth to those in darkness. And just another couple of passages just to consolidate what we're looking at. In Revelation chapter 3. We already looked at Revelation 13. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 3. We read in verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the ecclesias. And so we're told quite plainly then that Jesus will confess our names before the Father. Our names are preserved in the book of life. They are there, and they'll be confessed before the Father. If we seek to overcome the ways of sin, the ways of the world around us, the beast system of worship that's described in the Revelation, then our names will not be blotted out. I will in no wise blot out his name, it says in the RV. He will not blot out his name from the book of life. We need to overcome then that we might be found there. And finally, just turn in this connection, just turn over to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. We read there in verse 28. Psalm 69 and verse 28, it says there, verse 26 describes the ungodly, the false brethren of the class that Jude describes. It says they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded, add iniquity unto the iniquity, let them not come into thy righteousness, let them be blotted out of the book of life. It says in the AV, the book of the living. The revised version has the book of life. It's a book of those who are granted life by the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again to give incorruptibility and immortality to those who endure to the end. But this is the wicked. They will be blotted out of the book of life. And again, that's very comforting to us, because when we experience bad circumstances at the hands of those who oppose the things of the truth, the wickedness seems to prevail on every side. Wherever you look, there's a system of wickedness on every side. And it's comforting to us to know that in the kingdom, they won't be there. They won't be there to trouble us any longer. Their names are blotted out of that book of life, and so that they won't be there. Their names will be forgotten. It will not be kept in memory, and they'll be forgotten. And so that's another source of comfort to us, that ultimately the wicked will be blotted out and the righteous have their names declared and confessed before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, whilst we're in the Psalms, if you turn over to Psalm 56, in Psalm 56 we read here some interesting words here. We just read about how the names of individuals are contained within the book of life. But there is another book, or maybe it's the same book even. No, I'm not entirely clear on that. But where the experiences and actions of the saints are written as well. So Psalm 56 and verse 8, it says, Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, shall mine enemies turn back in the day that I call? And this I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word, and in Yahweh will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. And so here's the sorrow of the Apostle Paul, because he was being persecuted for the things that he believed in. And it says, but thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? So the tears of the apostle, not the apostle, the tears of the psalmist, and the tears of the psalmist are written in the book. Are they not in thy book? And so as well as being having our names written, the things that we suffer for Christ's sake will not go forgotten. They will not be forgotten, but that rather they will be in the book, as it were, with our names. Perhaps a different book, perhaps the same book, but we can be rest assured that when we experience hardships and difficulties for Christ's sake, that will not be forgotten. It's written down, as it were, an indelible memory of what we have suffered in that book. That will not be blotted out if we hold fast in the day of evil. And again, going back to the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 20, we read there in verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And this is one of the passages which would suggest that actually there's more than one book, because it says that the dead will be judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. And so not only are the experiences of the saints written, that they might be vindicated, having stood fast and held fast in the day of evil, the things that they do are also written in the book of life. And the books were opened, and the dead were judged according to that which is written in the books, according to their works, we're told. And that's, again, you know, a lot of these things are very comforting, because, you know, we do things and we don't seek the glory of men, but we do things and we find that ultimately we find that things that we do will be remembered. It's not as if we've done some good deeds and that's forgotten and nobody knows about what we've done. The book is opened and we're going to be judged according to what's written there. And then by the same token is a sobering aspect of this as well, because we think, well, you know, when we're about to do something, we think, well, do we want that action to be written in the book of the apocalypse here? Do we want that action to be written down so that it's not forgotten? That's something that perhaps we need to think about when we're trying to deliberate according to do particular things. Well, I made mention earlier to how this aspect of how our sins can be blotted out once we repent of them. And so whilst our works are written in the book of life, it says, our sins are actually not going to be found there if we repented of them. And there's a number of passages that might describe this. If you turn over to Psalm 51, in Psalm 51 we have a psalm of David. King David, of course, was an adulterer and a murderer by proxy, because he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah the Hittite put to death by the hand of the Amorites. And Psalm 51 is written in the aftermath of David's sin with Bathsheba. And look what he says in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. So they're written, the transgressions are written somewhere in the book of life. In one of the other books that's referred to in Revelation, he says, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that the mightiest be justified, and thou speakest be clear, and thou judgest. And so here David, he was faced with a situation where there was no sacrifice under the law that could atone for his sin. The law condemned sin. The law condemned David. He would have, on two points, because he was a murderer and he was an adulterer, both points were punishable by death under the law of Moses. But here he throws himself upon the mercy of God. Have mercy upon me, O God, he says. Have mercy upon me. And wash me, he says. Blot out my transgressions, he says. And so that's the desire that we have. When we do slip up, when we do make mistakes, then we can be confident that when we repent and we realize that what we've done is wrong, then God will not remember those things against us. It comes out again, Isaiah chapter 43. In Isaiah chapter 43, we read there in verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together, and declare thou that thou mightest be justified. But here's the point in verse 25, he says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. So the transgressions are written somewhere, but then they're blotted out because they've been repented of and they will not be remembered anymore. And that's, of course, very significant when we think of our interactions with each other, because when we pray that what's popularly known as the Lord's Prayer, it says, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from all evil, forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those that trespass against us. And so there's a comparison between the way that God forgives us and the way that we forgive other people. And if we would desire God not to remember our sins, God, who never forgets, of course, he's the Almighty, he's the All-Powerful, is not something that he will ever forget in terms of it being eradicated from his memory, as it were. But it will be regarded as if it had never taken place. He says, I will not remember thy sins. I blot out thy transgressions for mine own sake. And that's what we must do when others trespass against us. We should regard it as being as if it's never taken place. And that's hard. It's against human nature. Human nature wants to vindicate oneself and to show that we were right and you were wrong. But that's not the way of Christ. And we need to show that spirit of mercy to each other that we wish the Lord to show to us. So we shouldn't even remember the sins that people commit against us. Sometimes people say, I forgive, but I never forget. That's not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness in the scriptural sense. Forgiveness is that we will not remember those sins again. It's as if they never took place. That's the spirit that we need to have. Well, we come to think of the Lord Jesus Christ now. If you turn over to Psalm 40, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, we're told was the Word made flesh. He was the one who embodied all the principles of the Word of God. In verse 8, it says of Psalm 40, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And so he was an embodiment of the Word. But even he had his experiences and actions written in the book. And I believe it quite possibly is the same book what we're discussing. Verse 6, sacrifice and offerings thou hast not desired. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Hear thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Thou hast not refrained my lips, O Yahweh, thou knowest. Now, so here we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ was written in the roll or the volume of the book, and he delighted to do the will of his Heavenly Father. You could say that the book perhaps is the scriptures that we have before us. That may be the case, but I when you look at the context of these other references to these books, where the actions on, and experiences of the believers are placed there, I don't see any reason to separate the Lord Jesus Christ from that. In other words, to say that he didn't have his name in the book of life. You know, his name must have been there as well, because he's the only one that's been given everlasting life. And so it says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, it's written there. And again, in Psalm 139, whilst we're in the Psalms, in Psalm 139, we read here, again, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members are written, which in continuance are fashioned when as yet was none of them. In thy book, he says, all my members are written. You see, the substance of the Lord Jesus Christ is written in the book, as it were. It's all written there. It's all recorded there. It's not forgotten. It's all there in advance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we began by looking at Revelation chapter 13, and I'd just like to, before we bring our thoughts to a conclusion, is to look back at Revelation chapter 13, just to make another sort of practical observation here. You see, it's very often the case that men say that, well, we're quite at liberty to worship God in any way that we choose. That's a common philosophy in the world around us, particularly in the context of the churches and the ecumenical movement and various related ideas. It said that we can worship God in any way that we choose. But in actual fact, we're told in Revelation chapter 13 that that's not the case. We can only acceptably worship in the way that God himself prescribes. And here in Revelation chapter 13, we have this false system of worship being described here. And it says in verse 8, all them that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. So if you worship according to this beast system, if you worship him, then your name will not be in the book of life. And that's it. That's very sobering. That's very important for us to recognize this point that, we want to have the name in that book. But if we engage ourselves with this false system of worship, then we won't be there. It's only the truth that can save. The word of God is truth. Jesus said that in John chapter 17. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so we need to recognize that there's only one way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to have a faith in the true Christ, in the true God. This is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, we read in John 17. We need to understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what we are being saved from, and who Yahweh, our God, is. We need to understand those things in order to be saved, because if we're part of that system of worship which differs from Scripture, then it doesn't matter how politically incorrect you might think it to be. According to Scripture, you will not be written. Your names will not be written in the book of life. And again, just turn over to chapter 17, Revelation chapter 17, and in verse 8, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8, it says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and shall go into perdition. And it says, they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast. And it talks about the beast system again in that chapter. So we need to consider very carefully the state of our worship. You know, in the Old Testament, Cain thought he could worship God in the way appointed, in the way appointed by him. He was rejected and sent away. He ended up being a murderer, just like the church has when it murdered the saints of the living God down to the ages in the persecution of the believers. Well, I'd like to really conclude on a more positive aspect. If you turn back over to Malachi, the book of Malachi in chapter 3, we have there another reference to, I believe, this book. In this time it's called the Book of Remembrance. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And he was the principle that we've already established, that if we do serve God, we make that conscious choice. You know, we all have choices. It's not as if we're so bound up with the problem of sin that we can't decide what to do with ourselves. We all have choices. We have to make choices in life. And if we make that choice to serve Yahweh, then our names will not be blotted out. They're already there. They'll stay there. And this book of remembrance was written for those that feared Yahweh. So that's the first point that we need to recognize. We need to have that reverential fear of God. And none of this casual speaking of God in a very casual and relaxed way that people might talk to a close friend. He's the Almighty. Yes, he's the friend of God. He's a friend to those who hold fast to the things of his principles. Yes, but we need to give that spirit of reverence before him. So those that fear God, that thought upon his name. See, the name of God is something that we need to think about, and the way in which it encapsulates his entire purpose, that God will be manifested in a great multitude which no man can number. But notice also, it says in verse 16, then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another. So associated with this fearing of Yahweh then is this idea that we're speaking often one to another. And that's a very important point, because it's it's a great, great blessing to be able to speak to each other of like precious faith about the things that hold us in the things of the truth. You know, it's a great privilege to be able to speak to each other on the level of understanding that we all have in the promises of God. And we can encourage each other in a way. The Apostle Paul tells us to exhort one another daily. You know, if that's possible, that we should do it. We need to constantly be talking to each other about the things of the truth. And if we do that, then that's the kind of people that God has pleasure in. And the book of remembrance was written for those who do this, we're told. And so we find that the names of the book of life, written in the book of life, will determine our entry into the kingdom or otherwise. So then we'll bring our thoughts to a conclusion at that point. What we try to look at is that there is this eternal memory, as it were, of the names of the believers which are written from the foundation of the world, and we can have confidence that our names are there. If we serve God, the book of remembrance is written for us that our names might be there. Whatever difficulties and trials and tribulations we experience in life, they're written there. They won't be forgotten. Don't worry about that. They won't be forgotten. The things that we do that are wrong, they'll be blotted out if we repent of them. And so we have everything going in our favour, as it were, as long as we hold fast to the things of the truth. And so we come then to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He, as he said, was the Word made flesh. He was in the book of life. His experiences and creation was all in the book of life. It's all in that book. And so as we come to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to consider each other as well, how we can best serve each other and talk to each other and strengthen each other's hand in the Lord. Because as we say, in that day, our names will be found written in the book of life.